Hello, wonderful Open Heart Project. I'm so glad to see you, and I'm so looking forward to practicing together today. We're going to practice for 10 minutes. We're going to start very soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair. And if you sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And if you don't feel well, please lie down. And we'll start shortly, but I want to continue the discussion that I started with you all a few weeks ago about the six paramitas or transcendent actions. And also just to let you know that the reason you're getting this video, even though as of January, I was going to send you guys one email per month, one video per month, you know, everything changed and we're in a pandemic together. And I wanted to resume more frequent contact and more support for your meditation practice. And also just to let you know I'm here and we're in the Open Heart Project together and it's a community. And when we're alone in our houses, even alone with our families in our houses, it is good to know that we're part of a network of people who are practicing working with their minds and hearts. So I hope you are well. I hope you are safe. I hope your loved ones are well and safe. And let's practice together. But first, we'll explore the third, briefly, of the six paramitas or transcendent actions. Again, the transcendent actions are six actions. They're things you do. They're not things you study only. But they're actually, you go out in the world and you do these things, or you stay in your house in this case and you do these things. The first paramita is called generosity, some sense of being willing to offer. The second paramita is called discipline, which doesn't mean being mean to yourself. It has the quality of willing to work with what is. And the third paramita, quite relevant for many people right now, is called patience. There is much to be patient with right now. We are in a circumstance of many, many, many unknowns. We've never been in a situation like this before. So of course, it's very natural to want to move as quickly as possible to conclusions and explanations and solutions. Of course, it would be great if we could do that, but right now we can't. We are in a gap of where everything is different. It happened like that. We don't know when it will end, and we don't know what will happen, what life will look like when it does. So very unsettling, very interesting, and one must have patience because one has no choice. You can't game this situation. And we each have to find a way to stay in it, stay present, stay awake, be real. I'm not saying be perfect and unfeeling, but ride the waves of emotion and concern and all the things that takes patience. So luckily, there's an app for that. It's called the Third Paramita. I'm going to tell you the secret to indestructible patience. It is guaranteed to work, and it is also impossible to do. So, for what that's worth. Here is the secret to unending indestructible patience. It is the following. Having no expectations. Now, of course, you should have expectations that people are kind and that they do what they say they're going to do and all that. However, if you have no expectations that it should go this way or it's going to go that way, this is what has to happen or that's what shouldn't happen, but instead you're just paying attention, all you have is patience because you don't have any expectations. So you're just more like looking, like what the hell is going on here? And of course, that's impossible. So that's why I want to add that very important caveat. However, when you can, you can work with your expectations, not to give them up because you're not a machine, you can't just program expectations out, But when you notice that you're having expectations and there's some anxiety connected to those expectations, like this really better happen or this really better not happen, you could say, oh, well, expectation. How can I introduce some oxygen here? Can I lighten up a little bit on this expectation or just hold it a little more lightly? And again, you should expect people to be kind, and I'm not saying stop expecting those things. But when you notice that you're becoming impatient, check in with your expectations and see if any little softenings are possible toward yourself. That's most important. So just like with generosity having three forms and discipline having three forms, patience also comes in three forms. And the first form is called overcoming others' destructiveness or overcoming others' aggression. Well, if we knew how to do that, we would be in a much different world. So I think we could start with how to not do that. So someone is being aggressive toward you, angry or passive aggressive, whatever it might be. Here's what doesn't work: trying to hit them back. You have to protect yourself, you have to be smart, you have to be guarded and careful. I'm not saying otherwise, but there has been no instance in the history of the world, as far as I can tell, where aggression has led to peace. So we have to protect ourselves. Again, I'll just say that, but if you expect to dissipate aggression by countering it with an equal force, that will not work. So something else is necessary to counter aggression. And in each case, that something may be a little bit different. But in all cases, what is useful is to experience what's happening, not let it hit you or hurt you, but to tune in and go, this is aggression. That's what this is called. Okay. Let me know that so that you have a little bit more understanding of what's happening. That doesn't necessarily overcome other people's aggression, but something happens when someone comes at you with something hard and solid and you sort of just don't come back at them, but you are a little bit something else, non-reactive. It kind of doesn't work what they're trying to do. So I'm not saying that's easy, but if someone is trying to hit you and you remove this, it just has the possibility of moving past. So I'm going to tell you a story in a moment about how I experienced all three forms of patience that I hope will illuminate each one. So first, overcoming others' destructiveness. The second is realizing the nature of another's aggression. So someone may be an ass, and you're like, they're an ass. But then you might learn, well, someone they love just died, or they just learned they were sick, or they were brought up in a very abusive, horrible situation. I want you to listen, because that does not excuse their behavior. But it gives you some way of holding the situation that is a little more spacious than F you. And that is very useful in the cultivation of patience. And the third form of patience is called individually examining. I love this one. This is my favorite one. What it means is when something happens that irritates you, that causes you to become impatient, you don't label it according to all the other times you may have experienced the same thing. Rather, you look at it on its own. What is this? How did this happen? So our world suffers from our inability to individually examine. So there's a lot of things to be impatient with right now. Many people I know, me too, are quite impatient with people who are out there ignoring social distancing. If that's you, stop doing that. That's bad. So you see someone ignoring social distancing, and you're like, that's not good. Then you see someone else ignoring social distancing and you think, oh, they're just like that other person, and so forth and so on. And at some point you lump them all in to some category that's labeled with something unpleasant, and you may be right. However, this next time you see someone that is about to break the rules of social distancing, you will label them and become impatient immediately. Instead, if you slow down and sort of look at each instance, some kind of space is introduced, and space is the opposite of impatience. When you are impatient, all space is gone. The enemy of patience is aggression. So I'll tell you a story. This happened to me some years ago, and you may have heard it. So if so, I apologize. When I started the Open Heart Project, I was sending out like 5 meditations a week for free. And I did it for like 3 years, and it was a joy. But after about a year and a half, it had become my full-time job because it just kept growing, for which I'm very grateful. But since it had become my job, I had to figure out a way to get paid because I'd like to eat and live inside and so on. So I developed something, this was some years ago, probably 5 years ago now, where I said, I'm not going to stop sending you meditations. Instead of sending you 5 a week, I'm going to send you 2 a week. But if you want to keep getting more regular contact from me, I can't remember what I was going to charge, something like $20 a month. So I sent this out to the people that were in the Open Heart Project at the time. It was probably about 8,000, 9,000 people. And 98% or 95%, let's say, just didn't respond. I don't know what they thought. 4% said, oh, I'd love to do this, Susan. Thank you. And thank you. You're one of those people. And then some tiny percentage, and I'm going to cuss right now, so messaged me with something like, you bitch. So one of those emails said, you bitch. I thought you were a spiritual person, but you lied to me. This was bait and switch. You got me in and you made me trust you, and now you just want my money. So I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but you can just call your friends Deepak and Oprah. So that was very upsetting. I've been like, girl, I've been sending you things for free for years. And I don't know who you're talking to, but this lying, calculating person, that's not me. So it really upset me. So I thought, and this was a big aggression coming at me. And I cried. This is like my life's work. It's the most important thing that I can do with myself, and I want to keep doing it, and et cetera, and so forth. So the great majority of people would say, well, just delete that. I like to make sure this is on. But I didn't. Instead, I emailed her back and said, this really hurt me. This hurt me. Words have impact. And this is the impact your words had on me. I'm really upset, and I'm sorry you feel this way, and I'm hurt. Whoop, send. I didn't think I would hear anything back, but almost immediately I got back an email that said, well, you hurt me too. I come to rely on these meditations, and I can't afford to pay for them. Well, that's really different. You bitch is really different than, you hurt my feelings too. So this we can talk about. This we can work with. So I said, oh, okay. That's really good to know. I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt you. What would work for you? $1 or what? I can't remember what we worked out, but we worked something out. So here's what was instructive to me about that situation. Somehow her aggression was overcome. And I think it's because I was just truthful. I could have gone another way, you know, in this particular case, coming back with something genuine was disarming. And it wasn't calculating, it was just the truth. So the aggression was overcome. I realized the nature of her aggression, what was behind it, when she said, well, I'm hurt too. Well, that's very helpful. And then the individually examining part was, you know, it would have been very easy for me to lump her into a category of ungrateful, not nice people. But because somehow we together, and I credit her fully, paused on this particular incident, it was personal, it was individual, it was me and you. It wasn't some people are assholes. It was a real conversation. So that was a very instructive insight into what is meant by the paramita of patience. So I hope this is useful. I hope that it will support you in being patient. I hope that you will not come away from this thinking patience means I have to feel like everything's okay, because clearly in my example, I did not feel that things were okay. It doesn't mean you should be long-suffering. It means you should be awake. You should be brave when you can. And you can trust yourself. So generosity implies a kind of willingness to give. Discipline is about the willingness to meet situations as they are. So when you have a willingness to give plus a willingness to meet situations as they are, that discipline, patience becomes much more organic. So the paramitas build on each other in a beautiful way. Next week, I will come back to you with some insights into the fourth paramita, which is called exertion or energy, vitality, which we all want. So I hope that's useful. Again, let's practice together. Begin your practice, please, by forgetting all of those words and just relaxing. Establish your posture from the ground up. If you're on the floor, the legs are crossed loosely in front. If you're in a chair, the feet are flat on the floor, or you can lie down, like I said, if you don't feel well, and pretend you're sitting up straight. The hands rest palms down on the legs, somewhere that feels comfortable. Sit up straight. Feel your own beauty and dignity. And let the front body soften. The belly can relax a lot. Let the shoulders relax. The chin is parallel with the ground. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. And by natural, I mean there's no breathing technique, just you are already breathing, so please continue. And the eyes are open, and the gaze cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or 1.5 meters or whatever's comfortable given the distance of your screen. And let the eyes be soft. Like imagine that you can relax all the muscles around the eyes. And let the forehead relax and soften. Let your attention rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathing as opposed to observing the breath. You want to just feel it, your body's breathing. Feel the gentle expansion of the inhale and the release on the exhale. And begin again with this inhale And this exhale. Your mind will continue to make thoughts because that's what it does. It's fine, no problem. Most of your thoughts will come and go. You don't have to do anything about them. There's no effort to stop thinking or change thinking or anything. However, if you notice that you become absorbed in thought to the point where you are no longer aware of your breath at all, very good. Notice that. You could label that moment thinking. That's called thinking. Let go. Just let go. Come back to the breath and begin again. Feeling each inhale and each exhale. And remember, if you get lost, just come back. So we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. It's fantastic that in the midst of all of this, you are willing to take your seat right in the middle of the entire situation. I respect you for that tremendously. Thank you for sitting with me. Thank you for sitting together. Remember, we're having 4 meditations a day live with different teachers every Monday through Friday. The information is, I'll put in this email somewhere, but it's a good time to be together. So please be well, be safe. I'll see you next week.